He said, I know things are tight and times are tough, but he'd give me the machine if I give you up. I just looked him in the eye and I said, no thanks, honey, your love's better than money in the bank. Honey, your love's better than money in the bank.
Met a guy on a red eye. He spotted my guitar and said, what do you do? I said, I sing for a living. Country music mixed with a little rock and a little blues. He said, I'm sorry, but I've never been crazy.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper says progress is being made in the western part of the state from Helene, but there's a new hurricane threatening the southeast. It's Milton, now a Category 5 storm, but ABC meteorologist Kenton Jewicki says water, not wind, is the chief concern ahead of Milton's expected landfall late Wednesday or early Thursday near Tampa.
We're looking at record-breaking storm surge with this hurricane. Tampa Bay and down to Sarasota, you're looking at 8 to 12 feet of storm surge.
President Biden's approved an emergency declaration for Florida to free up federal resources. Today, the president hosted a candle lighting at the White House, one of a number of ceremonies in the U.S., marking a year since the October 7th attack on Israel. The Supreme Court's allowed the ban on emergency abortions that violate Texas law to remain in place. Georgia's Supreme Court halted a ruling striking down the state's near ban on abortions as it considers the appeal. This is ABC News. Pope Francis has named 21 new cardinals. There he joined the group that will one day elect his successor.
Mindful that Francis turns 88 in December and he's had health issues in recent years, his move of naming 21 new cardinals significantly increases the size of the body that will determine who will follow him. It's the biggest infusion of voting age cardinals into the college in his 11-year time as head of the Catholic Church. Among the new appointees, none from the U.S. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
The new cardinals will be installed in a December ceremony. An American climber, along with her British climbing partner, have been rescued after spending 3 days stranded in the Himalayas. They were stranded at 19,000 feet when the rope lifting their food and equipment snapped. They sent an SOS text, but Indian Air Force helicopters unable to find them. A French rescue team eventually located them. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Mira, Jorge, let's bring the nail gun over here.
Jose stands tall atop his sustainable flooring company.
Totally. It's renewable and moisture resistant, but we have several green options too. Or we got some beautiful reclaimed oak.
By his success, he needs to hire more installers.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Pluto TV is a place for movie fans like me.
And TV fans like me.
They've got something for everyone and it's free.
I love free. And I love Jersey Shore.
For me, it's The Godfather.
SpongeBob SquarePants, I am Patrick. Patrick is me.
Oh, Forrest Gump, come on.
Criminal Minds, solving crime after bedtime.
Whatever you love to watch, Pluto TV makes it easy with thousands of free movies and shows.
Pluto TV, stream now, pay never.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. Another warning about migrants from former President Donald Trump. He told supporters at the Dodge County Airport Sunday they're the biggest threat to America.
I know they do all these polls, and the polls say it's the economy, and the polls say very strongly it's inflation, and I can understand it a little bit. To me, it's the horrible people that we're allowing into our country that are destroying our country.
Trump was joined on stage in Juneau by Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson during his fourth campaign event in the state in a little over a week. The former president spoke for nearly 2 hours. man is in custody after an hours-long standoff Saturday in Waukesha. Police say a caller told them the man threatened to kill and choke her. The victim escaped the residence, but the 62-year-old man followed her and attempted to run her over with his vehicle. By the time police arrived at the home, the suspect, who the victim said had access to a weapon, barricaded himself inside the home. After de-escalation efforts went nowhere, officers deployed tear gas into the home. A canine was then sent into the home to apprehend the man. The victim of the domestic incident and two police officers suffered minor injuries. The East Coast longshoremen strike has ended for now, but the underlying issue of how technology will impact those jobs remains largely unresolved. UW Madison professor Michael Childers says it's similar to what auto workers have already gone through.
And that's sort of what we're talking about here, in the ability for the docs to invest in a very capital intensive technologies to run the cranes, for example, or to process and move around the containers once they're on the ground.
The union representing dock workers agreed late last week to extend its existing contract with port operators through January 15th. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny today with high temperatures flirting with 70 degrees. With these dry conditions and breezy winds, we're still in a high fire danger. Avoid burning and don't toss cigarette butts. As we stay clear tonight, we crash crisp to the upper 30s. As the sunshine stays abundant all week long, we'll hit 70s on Tuesday. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 57.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
At least for the moment, while wheat seems to want to gather some strength. Today, we'll talk machinery, land, and fertilizers with an eye toward today's prices and beyond. Live from Agriculture and Beyond via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Machinery Pete Greg Peterson. Then it's Andrew Zellmer and Travis Smock from The People's Company. Later, a fertilizer update from Josh Linville of StoneX. Directly following the news, Matt Griffin from BAMWX. I'm handsome newsman and outstanding professional broadcaster Davis Michelson, in behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk this morning. So pleased to be here with you. Chip's at parts unknown for just one more day. He'll be back first thing tomorrow morning. He will, I'm sure, regale us with all of the exciting things that he's been up to. He and the wife just taking some time, a little downtime for the big guy. We wish him safe travels, and hopefully he's not listening and instead rather, perhaps reclining by a pool or something. Although it's chilly. It's a little chilly out. 59 degrees. That's a five handle here in Kansas City at 10:07 Central Time. That's a little chilly for us down here. I don't know where Chip is, but maybe the pool isn't quite the right option for this morning for him. And wherever you may be, I know we've had a lot of, dryness. Man, it is dry here in Kansas City and in just northern Missouri in general. I can tell you that from experience, and I know it's going to be dry where you are. We'll get to the weather forecasts and all that sort of stuff, but once again, can I just throw out harvest, harvest, harvest? Let's be careful out there, gang. Number one, don't stick your hand in there, all right? We care about you. Come back in one piece. And number two, watch out for fires. Dry, hot weather. Well, it's cooler today, but dry, very dry out there. So just please be careful. Be a little bit fire aware as you're out there working away. And we'll get everybody home safe, and we'll celebrate that at the other side. Big show today. I've got Machinery Pete. Now, he's one of our usual suspects on Monday morning here. He's going to give us an update on the machinery market, what he's been seeing lately. Then we've got the People's Company. We're going to talk about land. They've got some numbers on Iowa land sales. They've got some from, they did a workup on the month of September, and then they did a Q3 workup as well. I'm anxious to see what the fellas there found. Andrew Zellmer and Travis Smock will join. And then Josh Linville, he sent out a communique last week that made one of my eyebrows go up. So I want to talk to him about fertilizer prices. Because if we got a nice wide harvest window, hey, maybe we'll have a nice wide application window for fertilizers this fall as well. If that's the case, I do want to talk to Josh about what's up with fertilizer. So before we get to all that, let's start with the weather, where Hurricane Milton now continues to intensify in the Gulf of Mexico today. Heavy rainfall ahead of that storm continues with localized flooding concerns. This hurricane is expected to approach the west coast of Florida during the middle of the week. Significant impacts are likely with large and powerful hurricane at landfall in Florida, with life-threatening hazards along portions of the coastline. Now, separately, it is expected to become a powerful Category 4 hurricane with winds exceeding 130 miles per hour over the southern Gulf of Mexico. And it's forecast to make landfall on the west coast of Florida probably Wednesday. It could strike between Cedar Key and Naples right now, and that includes the Tampa area. A dangerous situation is shaping up for Florida, said NHC Director Michael Brennan. In other news, we've got some USDA daily export sales here, 155,000 metric tons of corn to Mexico in the 24-25 marketing year, and 172,500 metric tons of soybeans to unknown destinations in the 24-25 marketing year. Those daily sales just keep popping up here. We'll take every single one of them we can get. House Speaker Mike Johnson stated the Congress does not need to act immediately on federal disaster relief for Hurricane Helene, as it will take time to assess the specific damage and needs. Thoughts and prayers go out to those folks out there who were affected by Hurricane Helene. Still trying to clean up, and it's going to be ongoing for a while. Congress is out until November 12. Focus is on needed aid for those states impacted by Helene, though it appears Congress will not be called back to deal with additional disaster aid funding. The latest deadline for the Farm Bill passed rather unceremoniously at midnight on September 30. Without a push from lawmakers to pass a new bill or an extension, Congress will have to scramble in the lame duck session set to begin November 12 to come up with some agreement before benefits run out at the end of the year. All three major stock indices finished higher on Friday in the wake of the strong jobs update and managed to eke out gains for the week. Gold futures rose 0.4%, driven by increased safe haven demand amid rising tensions in the Middle East as Israel plans a retaliatory strike against Iran. Oil prices climbed Friday, biggest weekly gains in over a year amid those growing concerns over a wider conflict in the Middle East. President Biden said on Thursday there have been discussions about support for an Israeli attack on Iran's oil facilities. Biden has said he will not support an attack on Iran's nuclear sites and cautioned Israel against hitting Iran's oil fields. Global conflicts and economic factors such as oil prices and instability have a direct influence on domestic politics, particularly U.S. elections. Companies are monitoring these developments because the election's outcome could significantly affect trade relations, taxes, and regulatory policies and impact their operations. And with that, let's head over to Matt Griffin from BAMWX. Matt, welcome to AgriTalk this morning. How's it going, buddy?
Good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You betcha. All right. So Helene has left an awful mess with us. We've got another apparently hurricane, this time Milton, intensifying in the Gulf of Mexico. You got an eye on this one?
Oh, yeah. We're watching it very closely. You know, actually, just before I got on here about an hour ago, National Hurricane Center has upgraded to, it's already a Category 4 hurricane in the Gulf. It's already much stronger than what a lot of the modeling had at this point here. Which is a bit troubling for some of us into Florida here. And you kind of touched on it just a second ago. Certainly areas like Tampa are under the gun for this. I do think kind of what I'm looking at right now, it's, in my opinion, it's right near Tampa or perhaps just north of Tampa where this can make landfall. And actually, a further north track of Tampa would be bad news, be every bit as bad as taking a direct hit, because that would greatly increase the storm surge threat for Tampa. Regardless, high impact for Western Florida. Right now, we've got it Wednesday evening as a high-end Category 3. We'll see how things trend with that. Maybe we'll have to upgrade that to a Category 4 at landfall. But the general idea is it should weaken before it gets to landfall. The question mark at this point is just how quickly does it weaken and what's going to be the exact track of where the eye wall starts to work into the picture. Outside of the hurricane, obviously, there's going to be heavy rain with this. You know, there's probably going to be some areas that could probably get double-digit rainfall totals, but probably a nice swath across north central Florida. Gosh, you know, 6, 7, 8+ inches of rain. It's going to dump a lot of rain.
And just really quickly, the other side of the corn here. You're expecting dryness across the Corn Belt, buddy?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty quiet for much of the Ag Belt, and really that's probably going to rain true for a lot of October. Oftentimes, you get these strong hurricanes anyway that especially impact just mainly of Florida. It's basically blocking any tropical moisture from working its way further north.
Matt Griffin from BAM WX, thanks for the update. We'll catch you later, buddy. Have a great day.
You too. Have a good one.
You bet. That was Matt Griffin from BAM WX. Coming up next, we've got Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson to talk iron here on AgriTalk.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand Power Core Enlist corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, Power Core Enlist wins in the field with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics, plus three distinct modes of action for long-lasting protection against above-ground pests and unsurpassed flexibility.
Whoa, this one says superior yield potential.
Don't touch, Billy.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/no-pests.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
You need a tractor tire that can do it all. Help you optimize yield, maximize traction, protect your soil, and reliably reduce fuel costs. Meet the new Bridgestone VT Tractor Tire, your ultimate partner for productivity. The VT Tractor Tire combines several innovative tread and compounds technologies to improve traction and on-road wear while reliably reducing fuel costs and soil compaction. Visit your local certified Firestone Ag dealer or firestoneag.com for more.
Retirement can be scary.
Building a new home or remodeling and need a new plumber? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a perk test or septic system? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need sewer line cleaning or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a new water heater or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. From basic plumbing to big projects, call Chris Bauer of Bauer Plumbing and Septic Service at 715-672-8224. That's 715-672-8224.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Machine Repeat on AgriTalk is brought to you by Firestone Ag. Firestone Ag now offers Bridgestone tractor tires, the ultimate lineup of tires engineered to deliver enhanced wear life, durability, and ride comfort on the road. Learn more, talk to your local certified Firestone Ag dealer.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk in Chip's stead. He'll be back tomorrow morning. This afternoon, I'm going to have a conversation with Ryan Wagner, and of course, we'll have Kerry Artak. I mean, you know, it's going to be a great day of radio. We are anxiously awaiting Chip's return in the morning. I hope you are, too. In the meantime, I've got our pal Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete himself, on the line. Pete, what's shaking today, buddy?
Hey, well, not too much, Davis. Just a Monday morning, and yep, another week. Let's get after it, huh?
I don't know. Let's ease into it. I had a conversation.
Hey, you're hesitating.
I am. Yes, I'm hesitant this morning. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I was having a conversation with my friend, a friend of mine, this weekend, and he is one of these guys that still has cable. He hasn't dipped into the streaming world at all. And he was asking me about it because I haven't had cable for years. And I just sort of use streaming services. I go to, you know, the big ones. I go to those and I watch the stuff that I want to see. And I, most of the time, there's not a whole lot of what I don't want. YouTube is a big factor in that. And part of it is this whole podcast concept. I've got a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast. It's sort of, you know, one of those mediums that you just, you really need to have a presence in. I get a lot of news from YouTube, from, you know, clips from the major networks and whatnot. We got Machinery Pete YouTube to savor as well, don't we? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, gosh, YouTube is, I'm with you. I tend to spend more of my time just on YouTube. Because yeah, whatever you want is out there. But yeah, you know, our videos, I've had so much fun over the years, Davis, posting. We're pushing 2,300 videos. We had a really fun one I posted Saturday night. Folks maybe saw it. If not, I think listeners might, when you have time, enjoy this. It's, sometimes I do videos that are longer. This one's a little over 1 hour. But it was an interesting story. So there's a guy down the road from me here in Grand Meadow, Minnesota, Brad Graff, and he's the owner, founder, president of Valley Transportation Service. Of course, most of your listeners, farmers, are aware of Valley Transportation. They're just an outstanding transportation company, been helping farmers and construction folks for 35 years, move equipment across U.S. and Canada. And I did an interview with Brad because they came on as our machinerypete.com transportation partner, and we're super excited to deal with such a great company. And when you're in the listings at machinerypete.com looking for stuff for sale, you'll see a little link there. It says Valley Transportation, get a quote. So I was interviewing Brad, and it's one of these deals, Davis, when you spend time with people and talk to them, there's like a 10-minute threshold once you get beyond that, the cool stuff comes out.
Yes.
And Brad mentions to me, he goes, you know, Pete, when I was 17 years old, I started working at it's no longer there in Grand Meadow, but it was called Minnesota Implement and Midwest Auction Company. And instantly, bells went off in my head like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Grand Meadow, Minnesota, I'm not kidding you, was like the epicenter of the auction world in the 70s and 80s because of what happened in Grand Meadow, Minnesota. And there was one guy, his name was Conrad Clement. Of course, people know Conrad. He bought Featherlight Trailers back in like 1986 or 8, I can't remember. Legendary guy. He bought the Iowa Speedway in his hometown of Newton, Iowa, back in the day. And Conrad
big spender.
Conrad is a legendary guy. But again, he got his start April of 1969 by starting Minnesota Implement in Grand Meadow, Minnesota as a young guy. And he bought and sold used equipment. And so when I did the interview with Brad, Brad said, you know what would be fun, Greg, is if I could pull together a bunch of guys, who were young guys back 55 years ago, working with Conrad and bring them here to Grand Meadow. Brad's got an awesome man cave shed there. And he goes, and I said, oh my God, Brad, can you please do that? I'll come with my iPhone.
Yeah.
And I recorded a 1 hour video. We just went from guy to guy and we talked. And so Conrad, I said, hey, Connie, thanks for coming up. And he has a copy of the April 1974 issue of Implement and Tractor magazine. And on the cover is a picture of his auction from March 11th, 1974. Now, so we got to stop and think about this. That's 50 years ago. So no one has ever conceived of anything like the internet or cell phones.
Right.
On this auction, they had 1,189 registered bidders at coming to Grand Meadow, Minnesota.
Wow.
And the sale was $1.3 million. And there's pictures in the magazine, Davis. We're looking, we're leafing through with Connie. And I'm like, look at that. Look at that. They're selling it. You guys are selling a 4430. That must have been brand new. And it brought $19,000. And so in the video to talk to Connie and then guys like Phil Jacobson, who grew up in Grand Meadow, worked for Galing Auction Company, Danny and Tom Blank, who used to own Blank Implement up by St. Cloud, Minnesota, Dick Gottfold, Gottfold Implement, Hills, Minnesota, Bob Daly, Daly Auction Company in Colo, Iowa. When Bob was a young guy, he used to come up and help out Midwest Auction. Guy by the name of Bill Goldammer from Mitchell, South Dakota. We had all these guys, and also Dwayne Graff, who founded Graff Auction Company in 1959. And so Dwayne's 89 years old, and I'm moving down the line with my iPhone saying, Dwayne, what was the auction business like in the early 60s?
Yeah.
So to share a YouTube video like that, and, you know, I'm getting older and older, but, and these gentlemen are, you know, older, but just to be able to share with them, with our audience, their stories. And Brad gave us a nice dinner and it was so much fun. So yeah, YouTube, to be able to share stuff like that is super cool.
You know, we sort of joke in this household, well, that was back in the 1900s, back in the olden days kind of a thing. Right. We're so modern now. What a fascinating look at the, I mean, not necessarily chronology of it, but sort of where the industry was 50 years ago. Wow.
Well, right. And an amazing thing about Connie, Conrad Clement, starting Midwest Auction Company, is that in the 70s, dealers around the country, and again, think back, this was before you had dealer groups of 60, 80 stores. It was like the old days when a little town like I grew up in, Benson, Minnesota, probably had five dealerships, you know, a Massey, John Deere, Oliver. So Connie with Midwest Auction was going all over the country as an auction company to have auctions. Now we see that, you know, with the Ritchie brothers, a Big Iron, a Steffes, a Sullivan, Schrader, a number of others. But again, that was 50 years ago he was doing that. And a very humble man, you know, just talking to him about, well, how did that happen? And basically, you know, it's America. You just, whatever, when you see opportunities. And of course, now a lot of it is technology driven, which is fantastic. But, you know, again, to talk to these people that have done these things and, you know, the stories of how they grew these businesses can get lost to time. Mm-hmm. Even talking to, you know, Andrew Hamilton was there. He owns Hamilton Mehring Auction Group now in Dexter, Minnesota. And Andrew, when he was a little guy growing up in the business, his great uncle Earl Hamilton, you know, was, everyone knows from Dexter, Minnesota, Hamilton Auction back in the day. People that grew up in the business, you know, memories of their grandfathers and uncles, grandmothers, and then carrying forward today. And of course, today we have innovation with auctions. Of course, online is great. But I love capturing in voice people like, you know, even Brad Graff. You know, Brad, you started a world, you know, North American transportation company 35 years ago. What the heck was that like when you were a young buck?
Yeah.
And he stops and, you know, he's like, well, you know, I didn't have any money, but I just wanted to do it. And, you know, hats off to, and the same with all your listeners. I mean, you build your farms and you go through the ups and downs over the decade. Everywhere I go, Davis, these generational stories, they really need to be captured. And shared, and it's an honor to do so on our podcast and YouTube.
Absolutely. Wow, we're gonna run out of time really quick here if we're not careful. Pair of 2012 cotton pickers I want to talk about, sold Thursday in Arkansas. Yeah. Tell us about that quickly, please.
Well, yeah, I was listening to your conversation with Matt Pryor about the hurricane, and so compiling auction price data, if we get down into the south, this sale was last Thursday in Arkansas, a couple of 12 model John Deere 7760 cotton pickers with under 2,000 engine hours brought $90,250 and $85,250. Now, Hurricane Helene there devastated the cotton growers down there. It's not good. So, for comparison's sake, back in January, the same auction company that had the sale Thursday, Witcher Auctions, they had a sale in Clarksdale, Mississippi, where they sold a 14 model John Deere 7760 with almost double the hours for $110,000. So last Thursday, to see a pair of them go for $90,085, that shows you the, you know, the depression maybe on the horizon there. So is what it is.
That's tough stuff. Tough stuff. Hey, thanks for what you're doing, Greg. Machinery Pete YouTube channel. Definitely go and check that out. He's curating some very, very important things there. Greg Peterson, thanks, buddy. We appreciate you. Have a great week.
You as well, Davis.
All right. We will, we're going to check in with the markets with Brian Grady, and then we're going to talk land on the other side of the break on AgriTalk.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bred to defy expectations. So it's no surprise they're getting rave reviews, and that has more than farmers talking. In fact, a grain elevator wrote, "Sweet mother of pearl, trailer after trailer of Z-Series. It's never ending. We need a break." Safe to say, everyone is feeling the impact of Z-Series soybeans. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/new era.
Spring floods, fall floods,
there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Farmers, it's harvest time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November and December both down 42. November 2097, December 2044. January down 26 to 1996. February down 23 at 1958. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets, moving mostly higher today after the strength in the cash trade last week. Traders are also seeing some higher box beef prices today. They're hoping to find stable fundamental support to keep the markets moving higher. Hog markets are also moving mostly higher today after the stronger demand and pork cutout values once again in the markets today. Trade's going to have to continue to see that, though, to continue to move prices higher. October live cattle up 47 cents to 187.47. November feeder cattle up 12 cents to 249.40. December hogs up $1.10 to 77.25. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets moving mostly higher following the strength in the wheat markets. Some of the dry weather in the plains slowing the winter wheat planting and also winter wheat emergence. Also strength in the Matif wheat prices helping to support U.S. wheat. That support in U.S. wheat helping corn. Soybeans though moving lower. Rain in South America for their soybean planting is pressuring the market. December corn up 1¾ to 426.5. November beans down 3¼ to 1034.5. December wheat up 3.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. We support our customers through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and most of all, service. We know Bluff Country because we live here. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of community and the relationships we build. Our commitment is to provide you with top quality products and the service you deserve. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I am your pal, Davis Michelson, in for Chip this morning and this afternoon. Looking forward to starting the week with you all. Thanks for being here. good talk with Machinery Pete there. This is one of the things I really like about just sort of his headspace is he appreciates where we have come from, where his industry has come from, how things were so different back in the day. Well, how did we get from there to here? And collecting these stories, curating them, if you like, is super valuable. Check out Machinery Pete's YouTube channel and machinerypete.com. Let's turn our attention to the ground below us with Andrew Zellmer and Travis Smock from the People's Company. Fellas, thanks for joining us this morning. How's everybody doing?
Hey, thanks for having us. Beautiful, beautiful fall day here in Iowa. So yeah. Doing great.
All right.
Yeah, it's great. Great to be here.
Let me start with Andrew. We'll go alphabetically. Andrew, talk to us about the People's Company. What do you folks do over there? What occupies your time?
Yep. So we're People's Company is a full service land company. So we focus on selling land, whether that's through auctions or listings, managing land, appraising land, and then helping people invest in land. We also have a energy sector with everything that's happening in the energy markets, whether that's renewable energy or oil and gas, and licensed across 30 states across the U.S. and kind of do stuff in every major agriculture region.
There's an awful lot to keep your eyes on in the energy sector right now, isn't there?
Yeah, no, that definitely is something that we brought on a couple of years ago, and it feels like it changes every day. So it's great to have those resources here at People's Company.
Travis Smock, you are here with us as well. Discuss your role. What does your day-to-day look like, Travis?
Yeah, so I'm on the brokerage side of the business. Andrew is as well. I live in eastern Iowa, Independence area, and Andrew's in Clive, our West Des Moines, our main office there. So my day-to-day would be handling auctions and listings and, navigating through sales.
Mm-hmm. Well, you... Your company, the People's Company, released a couple of reports early in October with some results, one for the month of September and then one for Q3. I'm not sure which of you would like to take the lead on this, but give us the 30,000-foot view of that September report. What were your findings? What's significant to you in there?
Yeah, so our appraisal team does a great job of tracking auction sales, and so I think we have a market analysis that you would have ran across there, Davis, and the Q3 results. In Iowa, it's a little bit easier to track where sales are. We have that CSR2 rating, so we can use that dollar per CSR point to give us a really good feel on where land values are. So the Q3 average dollar per CSR point was $176 per point, which was actually up just a little bit from the Q2 number, which was $171 per point. Some interesting things there. We also track the number of sales. Sales are definitely down a little bit this year, which I think are helping hold those values up. And we've been tracking sales quarterly, or the appraisal department has been quarterly for, I believe, 5-6 years now. And going back to the lowest number we tracked would have been right in the heart of COVID in Q2 of 2020. That went down to $103 per point. And the peak that we saw would have been just a few years ago in 2022, right in the middle of the year. We were in the upper 180s, $188 per point. So we've seen a little bit of a softening from there, but it's really been, I would say, fairly steady on average over the last couple of years, but we are definitely seeing some more volatility.
When we're talking about CSR2, and your results are strictly from within the borders of the state of Iowa, where the CSR2 is used to measure basically soil fertility, soil quality, I think maybe we can call that. Correct me if necessary here. But that's not a national sort of scale. So when we look over into Nebraska or up into Minnesota, there are different metrics by which that's measured. They don't have a CSR2 in other states. Can you help me get my head around that? What's the story there with the CSR2 and how, what's the best way to compare land values from one state to the next?
Yeah, every every state kind of has their own way of tracking it. CSR2 was developed, or the CSR, the original corn suitability rating, was developed at Iowa State University, and it was actually developed to help decide what quality the ground was for taxation purposes, right? So the higher quality ground would get taxed higher than the lower quality ground, and that's kind of how the CSR started. And then it got an update here. That would have been about 2013 or 14, I think, where they did some updates to the original CSR rating. And you go into Illinois, they have their own. It's called the PI rating. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, the CSR is based 0 to 100, with 100 being the optimal. And in Illinois, for example, it's 0 to 147. So 147 is the optimal. So everywhere is a little bit different in how they look at things and how they rate things. And that can make it a little bit difficult. But the nice thing is we work across multiple states and have resources in those states. So I wish I could give you a little more clarity. It would be really nice for everyone if we had a standardized that worked well, but the soil's so different across different regions that I think that'll continue to just be a state by state process.
Okay. Thank you for answering that for me. I get emails and letters all the time. Why isn't there just a national productivity index, or CSR2, or whatever? But the different soil types absolutely make a lot of sense. So getting back to your reports here, talk to me about trends. I mean, there was an awful lot of excitement, and one of the questions is, you know, is it over? Are we seeing a rollover here? What's your outlook based on these numbers telling you?
Yeah, the Realtor Land Institute just came out with a report not too long ago that said year over year we were down 8.31%. And I think that's pretty consistent. The thing is, just everything's so regionalized. Over the last couple years with high prices, we've seen a lot of sales. So if you're in a neighborhood that has a lot of ground to sold, and guys have had their chance to buy ground in that area, you know, you might see a little bit of pullback in those areas, but we're still seeing areas that maybe haven't seen a lot of land come to the market. Those areas are still holding really strong. And I think one thing we're starting to see from August, you know, compared to today, yields are really good. So the farmer sentiment's a little bit better. You know, they're getting the crop out timely. Yields are a little better than anticipated in a lot of areas. And the prices are better than they were in August. So all in all, farmer sentiment has a lot to do with, you know, land values and how they're feeling. So, you know, that's one thing I think over the last couple of weeks, or the auctions I've seen, it's felt like it's stabilized a little bit. So we might be off, you know, 5 to 10% from the high, or 8%, like that said. But it all depends on the region, and everything's very regionalized. So it's important to know how many acres have sold in a township or close by, and if guys have had a chance to buy or not. The other thing that we're seeing is, you know, there is optimism for potentially lower interest rates. So they've already got one cut here, and a lot of people think there'll be another one December. And if that's the case, and the markets kind of hold steady here and yields are where they're at, I think we'll see a pretty stable market into early next year.
That, okay, when we're talking about opportunity and the desire to buy a piece of land, now, of course, there's always that opportunity pull. Oh, I've been looking at that piece of ground for 20 years, finally it's for sale. I'm going to jump in there. Separately from that, if I'm a farmer and I'm trying to be strategic about land purchases, do you see farmers step in when good yields have been affirmed? Or maybe do you see farmers step in when a plot has maybe had a stinker of a year and thinking, ah, I've got an opportunity there. Maybe I can get it for a little bit lower price. Are they watching it on that level, or is it mainly opportunity driven in your perspective?
It seems like land buyers a lot of times have a long-term horizon. And honestly, if you're investing in land, I think the guys that'll tell you 20 or 30 years ago, the farmers that have bought stuff through, you know, that are in their 60s and 70s will tell you they wish they bought every single piece of farm ground that came up. So I think it's not so much a day-to-day commodity prices that change, you know, mm-hmm. change what those guys think it's worth. It's more of a long-term view. So if you're bullish on ag long-term and what that looks like, I think that you know, you'll make a decision that day based on what's there. Now, the one thing is, I will say the investor, whether that's the local investor or, you know, some of these funds, it's a little bit tougher to raise money right now. And guys aren't quite as excited about a 2% return as they were before, especially with CD rates being being higher and alternative investments. So that market's been a little bit, you know, it hasn't been quite as exciting as it once was. The one thing that we do see, though, is when there's uncertainty in the world, and, you know, we seem to have a lot of that going on, people like to go to hard assets. Mm-hmm. And with what's happening in other asset classes, commercial real estate and even residential real estate, land seems to hold money together better than those asset classes right now. So we are starting to see some people pique their interest again. But, you know, it all depends. But I think most buyers have a long term, you know, time horizon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they're looking at it. A lot of the flip, you know, the land's not something you go in and you flip, you buy it. Right. A lot of people hold it forever, have a 10 to 20 year time horizon.
You bet. Andrew Zellmer and Travis Smock from the People's Company. I need to have you all on again. There's lots for us to talk about. Thank you for your insights and for telling us about People's Company and for the results of your work there. We appreciate you. Have a great week, fellas.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right. We're coming right back on the other side of this break to talk fertilizer with Josh Linville of StoneX. I'm going to go in with an open mind. Join me.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
When Senator Tammy Baldwin first went to Washington, the big news story was Y2K. And we were partying like it was 1999. Baldwin has been in D.C. for more than 25 years. And after a quarter century, her values are a lot more Washington than Wisconsin. Baldwin supported providing puberty blockers and sex change surgeries to minor children in Wisconsin. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, even though domestic violence survivors say it would be traumatic to be forced to sleep in the same shelters as men. Tammy Baldwin, 25 years in Washington has changed her, and now she's just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Los Rios Farm in Bethard, Colorado. Larry, talk to me about some of the challenges that you face and other farmers face as well, and how you are managing those challenges.
Well, a little over 20 years ago, we had a pretty severe drought that kind of pushed me away from farming. And then in 2013, we had a pretty severe flood, which brought me back to the farm. So with all that back and forth kind of stuff and me being engaged in the farm again, it's like, well, how do we fix this? What are we going to do? You know, we've had some good technology and some really poor technology lead us to where we are with a lot of soil and water degradation. And now we're trying to turn that back to see if we can straighten things up.
Okay, what's got you most excited about what you're doing on your farm?
Basically, what we're trying to do is emulate nature. Instead of trying to force massive yields and maximize everything and keep the banker, the fertilizer company, the seed company, and the chemical company in business, We're trying to keep Mother Nature in business, trying to add the organic matter back in. The other thing is, you know, I see a lot of my neighbors. You drive across western Nebraska, eastern Colorado, and you see all those beautiful wheat fields all in those strips, not a weed out there. And that's actually not the way it works, you know. We've had some technology that has not been the best things for us, like the strip farming. We found that that's been really hard on the soil. And so if we get our soil biome straightened back up, get that organic matter in place so we can get the moisture that we do get into the ground instead of running off so that we can prolong things, I think we're going to be headed back in the right direction.
You can get more of Larry's story at investinourland.org. Thanks, Larry. That is Larry Lemke, Los Rios Farm in Bethard, Colorado.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
What's a corn farmer's favorite dog?
A husky.
Some things shouldn't be flat. But with GHX, you can maximize your acres with one flat price. While other brands sell by the bag, we sell seed by the acre to maximize your yield and profit potential. Our custom seed recommendations combine extensive product characterization and agronomic expertise to get the right product, population, and placement, all for one flat price per acre. Learn how at ghxseed.com/connect.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Time's running away from us. Josh Linville of StoneX joins now. Josh, good morning. Happy Monday, brother. How you doing?
You know, doing all right. Got through our third band competition Saturday and spent the rest of the weekend watching this hurricane that's moving across the Gulf. So no rest for the
week. Yeah. We need to talk about that just a little bit. I wish we had a Royals victory to talk about. Didn't get by the Yanks on Saturday. I'd like to see him do a little better, perhaps.
That's right. Kansas City will have a Chiefs game and a Royals game at the same time this evening. It's going to be a good time.
I don't know. My head may explode, brother. It's just too much. It's too much all at once. Hey, the hurricane down there. Now we've got a hurricane headed in. I wrote in the news, it may become a category 4 before it makes landfall. Then we had a weather guy on, said, no, it's already been upgraded to category 4. This is a stinker. Hurricane Milton on the heels of Helene, headed for phosphate production country. Can you talk to us about that, please, Josh?
Yeah, we just barely dodged a bullet with Helene that came through. Now, obviously, widespread destruction where it went, and we did see some problems across the Gulf, across the Tampa region. This one is going to dwarf Helene in terms of how it's moving. I mean, this thing is straight west to east. This thing, it looks like it's going straight to a Category 5, and it is Tampa dead to rights. Now, population-wise, that's the big worry, right? We got to worry about all the people down there. This is going to be the first major hurricane as a direct hit in modern Tampa history. But then you start to think about all the production, all the storage, everything that's in that area for the phosphate market. And 3 or 4 weeks before fall application begins, this isn't good.
Yeah. No. And in fact, I do a fertilizer page in my landowner newsletter. I wrote in the September newsletter, prices were pointed at least were a whole lot better than they have been. And I made the comment, look, if you've been skimping on P&K the last couple of years to make the numbers work, this may be your opportunity year to get something done after harvest on phosphate and potash if you need that. Talk to me about those people that I said that to. Is there going to be enough phosphate around it if the worst case scenario is realized here with the hurricane?
Yeah, we've been saying the same thing on our monthly farmer newsletter is that, listen, phosphate, it's high price. It looks horrible versus grain values.
Yeah.
But we don't see it really improving anytime soon. When you look at our NOLA DAP prices and you look at it as a destination and you start to look at us versus India versus Brazil, both of whom are bigger buyers on the world market, both those two values are significantly higher than we are. So we're already kind of a quote unquote discount. Inventories have been very tight all year. And now we've got this situation just a few weeks before the start of application. And I'm never going to sit there and say, oh, you're not going to be able to find it. You won't, you know, it won't exist. Sure. Find it, but you might not like the price and you might not like the timeline.
Yeah. How does this work? Let's say I'm like, ooh, there could be trouble here. There could be a price response. I better lock in my DAP today. But maybe when I go to have it delivered, it's quite a bit more. I mean, maybe the price goes up $200 a ton, let's just say, just for round numbers. What does that have? I mean, is there a precedent for changing and saying, I'm sorry, that was the number we agreed to, but I'm afraid it's much more expensive now. And by the way, hard to get as well. Is there a concern there?
I don't think so. I think generally speaking, the market does a really, really good job of if you make a commitment to it. Now, there are force majeure situations. This might be something that folks are talking about, something that might be feared a little bit, but you hope that that doesn't make its way down to the farm gate. You hope the market finds a way, as it always does.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even I wanted to have you on today because of your comments on nitrogen from your communique late last week. I thought, we got to get this guy on here to talk about this. This is the biggest thing I've seen in a while. And now we're talking about hurricanes and phosphates, but lift the curtain a little bit on your thoughts on nitrogen, please.
Yeah, so this goes back to early last week. Remember, we had this attack on Israel by Iran, hundreds of rockets. Now, fortunately, I don't believe there's any deaths or anything like that. Most of the rockets fell on open ground, but we suddenly saw urea prices starting to spike around the world. And everybody's like, oh yes, the Iran attack is what caused prices to go higher. And we were like, no, pump the brakes on that. Well, prices went higher. You're right. And it happened the same time as Iran attacked Israel. You're right, but it wasn't the cause. For the last several weeks, a couple of months, we've been talking about these global supply problems. The EU production rate is still 75% of normal. Chinese urea exports are almost non-existent this year at a pace that we've never seen before. Egyptian hiccups, Brazil being offline, all these other production hiccups around the world. Supplies are tight on urea and everything else has been following it. Iran attacking Israel was not the thing that caused it. It was just the trigger that allowed the market to kind of come together and say, yes, we now need to move higher because this supply issue is very, very real and it's in our face. And this India tender that's going on where they're going to look to try and purchase some tons just proved that with the offers coming out this weekend.
Boy, I don't like that setup at all. Not because I feel like we necessarily are pointed parabolically higher, just there's no certainty there at all. Is there anything we can hang our hats on as we're looking ahead, trying to make the numbers work?
Potash looks really, potash is very well valued. Potash looks very well supplied. Our only real concern when it comes to potash is maybe we see some price increases in the middle of the season because just-in-time demand, those folks that wait until the absolute last minute, they may say, I need something right now, and that costs a little bit more. But overall, as a marketplace, that's extremely well supplied, and it continues to look well supplied into the future.
Okay, I like that a lot. So we can maybe bank some potash, probably bank some phosphate as well. Are you thinking about spring prices at all, as far as where our heads should be at on that?
It's so far out; it's hard to make a call. We've so many times where, you know, about this time of year, you say, "Oh, it looks like it's going to be the best opportunity," and then crazy things happen January, February. But let's put it this way. If everything plays out as we are kind of expecting it to do, and both of these two problems with the nitrogen and the phosphate market today are very supply driven, those typically have a little bit more longevity. It looks like today may be a pretty good time to go talk to your retailer.
Okay. Go talk to your preferred retailer / supplier. That's always great advice. Josh Linville, I know that, you know what, someday we're going to have some good news in this fertilizer market, and I'm going to have you on that day. Because I know you're dying to deliver some good news. I apologize. I'm always bringing you on, and it's like, oh, what do we do, Josh? What do we do? So thank you for being here. Your insights are excellent perspective for us. We got to have it, baby.
Hey, anytime, man. Job security.
Right on, right on. Go Chiefs, go Royals. Josh Linville from StoneX. And that's going to wrap us up for today. We have had some terrific conversations there, beginning, of course, with Machinery Pete himself. And then Andrew Zellmer and Travis Smock from The People's Company, Josh Linville, of course, and Matt Griffin from BAM WX. So for Big Apple Joe, it's me, Davis Michelson, on AgriTalk. Come back this afternoon.
At Mosaic, we know that good things come in small packages. That's why we pack micro essentials with the good stuff required to feed your fields and improve your yields, like uniform nutrient distribution, season-long sulfur availability, increased nutrient uptake, and ease of use. Because who doesn't want greater ROI and increased yields? The Mighty Micro from Mosaic Micro Essentials. We put more in so you can get more out. Visit microessentials.com to learn more about getting more.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
People just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you know to check you have a full tank of gas first before road tripping through the desert.
Empty? Seriously? Maybe I can walk.
Yeah, checking first is smart. So